things happen, and I wasn't prepared to give a lesson this morning. But as I once said before, we all are Christians, we're all supposed to be able to have a word for the Lord wherever and whenever. So this morning, what I thought would be a good thing to do would be to discuss some things that we may have pressing on our mind. And one thing that came to my attention is a topic that we have discussed before about when someone does something to you and you forgive them. And do you forgive them, which we are instructed to forgive them? Do you forget it? Some people believe that, and I've often heard it said, I forgive you, but I'm going to forget it. It's common knowledge you're not supposed to forget it because it's supposed to be a learning experience. And if you forgive someone for one thing, rest assured, the next time around it's going to be a little bit harder to forgive. And if you forgive them for that one, the next time around it's going to be a little bit harder. And you might think, well, why would it be a little bit harder? It's so that we can be better and better and get closer and closer to God. Because I can't even picture in my mind the mind of God to be able to forgive me as much as many times as I continue to do wrong. And if he forgives me one time, then next time, he'd peering in my ear with my mom used to tell me when I was younger, you're supposed to know better. Because I was old enough, as she put it. Well, if I can call myself a Christian, some things I'm supposed to know. I'm supposed to know better than to do. And I still do some things, and I have to repent for it. And the Lord still forgives me. How do I know he forgives me? Because I'm still here. And I find myself continuously asking for forgiveness. Not for the same thing, but for other things. Some things are a little bit harder. And one thing that I know, and my wife can vouch for this, I'm getting better at it though. I have to ask for forgiveness for what I be thinking and bite my tongue on what keep from saying things when the person cuts in front of me when I'm driving. Cut in front of me and then they make a turn. I still can't understand why, but that's a real bad one for me. But there's other things that people come through the neighborhood with music so loud that it rattles my windows. I'm like, you really have to have music that loud? I mean, this seems like little small stuff. You might say, so why you like that bother you? Because I'm human. You know, what bothers me may not bother you. What bothers you, I might not think too much of. But when somebody does something to you, that especially could be a family member, could be a church member, could be a friend that you grew up with, someone that's kind of close to you, when they upset you or make you angry, it's a little bit harder to forgive them because they are so close to you. And you forgive them this time, then the next time it still seems like it's a little bit harder because they should have known better. And the Bible says you're supposed to give, what, 7 times 70? I mean, it doesn't mean you're supposed to count how many times, but it's just in infinitely you forgive. But do you forget it? No, you never forget it. If you had a scar from an injury when you was a child, as you grow, that scar grows. Every time you look at that scar, you remember what happened to the chief. What you were doing, how you got it, how it hurt, everything. Eventually, that scar heals, and when it turns into a scar, and you go along and you just have a scar as a memory. It doesn't even bother you anymore. But it reminds you, whatever you were doing at that time, you I'm quite sure you never did it again. Because you knew you got this scar through, that wasn't what you were supposed to be doing. So when someone hits you, it's supposed to be a learning experience. The learning experience is learning how to forgive. But no, you can't forget it. Because if you forget it, then you haven't accomplished anything. It didn't mean anything to you. Yes.
I was going to say, somebody does something to you and you forgive them, you need to stop bringing it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because the less you focus on it, the less it's in the forefront of your mind. Does it occasionally come back up? It will, but it's not going to be a constant thing.
That's very good.
Especially when it is a member of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been through this myself. And I found that I could honestly forgive in the end of it and even love that person still. And reconcile before she even passed.
Mm-hmm.
With all of this. But I found if you don't keep bringing it up, you will not focus on it. It's the same with the scar. If you don't constantly focus on it when you look in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
pretty soon you forget it's even there.
Okay.
And I think it's the same thing with if you forgive somebody, don't bring it up every opportunity you have.
Okay, I was about to ask you when you said don't bring it up. Do you mean don't bring it up to them, or don't bring it up in your mind? Like,
in general, I think with both. In my own mind, in conversations, or like if somebody's coming down on that person,
mm-hmm.
in front of you, don't bring it up what they did to you, because you don't forgive about it.
Okay.
Let it go. And I think that's the point. If you keep holding on to it,
mm-hmm.
it's going to always be in the forefront of your mind.
Well, if you keep holding on to it, it's a grudge.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
And it's not forgiveness.
No, that's
yeah, exactly.
Right. You haven't forgiven.
Yeah. So, I don't totally agree with constantly remembering something that, you know, happened in the past. Because, like Rush used to say, forgiveness is a process.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
And like Judy said, you have to let God take it, because if you are constantly thinking of it, reminding yourself of it, you haven't let go of it. You haven't given it to God.
Yeah.
You just given it to yourself over and over,
over
and
again,
over
exactly.
And over again.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. some people say, I forgive you, but I won't forget.
Yeah,
you know, that is, I agree, that's like what you're saying.
That statement.
It's still a grudge, because every time they see them, I forgave you, but every time I see you, that's all I think about is you're still bringing it up. You're not bringing it up verbally to them, but you're bringing it up because every time you see it in your mind, and see them in your mind, you're thinking about what they did. But if you truly turn it over to God, and as you said, as time goes on, you still won't forget it, but
it's not in the forefront of your mind. It
right.
doesn't, you know, if you see that person, that's the first thing that comes to mind. It's no longer there.
You can forgive, and you focus on other things that some of the causes they may have.
Yeah.
Or if you say it's family, then let's focus on how much time you enjoy being with that family member. Especially if you know they may not be around forever also.
Yeah, if you just give lip service to the words I forgive you,
exactly.
They're just empty words.
Yeah.
They don't mean anything.
Okay. Yeah.
I want to ask a question and see what anybody thinks about this. That God will wipe those things from your mind.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen that in scripture, but somebody had stated that to me.
Mm-hmm.
That Jehovah would just wipe those bad thoughts or event or whatever happened. He would wipe your mind clean of it.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing was that, okay, if God wipes that out of your mind, I don't think that we are made like that. He didn't make us like that.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wipes it from your mind, how are you going to learn from what happened? How are you going to know how to approach if something comes up like that again? How are you going to know how to approach your situation or whatever?
Okay.
I just think it should be, it keeps it in your mind, so it will be a learning experience.
Okay.
You know, during time, as time goes by, it'll probably won't be have as much sting to it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then you still, you can, it's a learning process, like I said, and forgiving people too, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
Well, she just kind of said, I was going to say it diminishes, because I can say certain things are diminished. I don't recall, like, the details of it mm-hmm. or what have you. They're mm-hmm. diminished, but I know the lessons that I've learned mm-hmm. from it, you know, and okay, in this regard, I know the cost that came out of that circumstance.
Okay.
So that was the lesson. I know the value of what has come from those things. So where the forgiveness was gone. And a lot of that had to do, you know, from childhood, but a lot of it was with my mom. And I can't tell you every event or circumstance. And, you know, give you date, time, or even, like, whatever. But I know the value of those moments. And how it helps me to interact in other relationships and with other people. So I can say maybe he helps diminish the thought, because if that was the pain of those experiences,
mm-hmm.
then maybe I couldn't remember more of the good things of that relationship, because our relationship was very tumultuous, and especially in my teenage to adult life. So yeah, I feel like he can diminish it, because I now have a great esteem, and it used to be a bitterness when people said, oh, you act or you look like your mom, but I take that now with great esteem.
Okay.
And, you know, so he can diminish it.
Okay, so that would be, he would wipe away the steam or the hurt or the bad of it, but the memory of it will still be with you when you see the person, but you will look past it and not just look at every time you see the person, you just think of what happened or what they did to you. You will look past that. Mm-hmm. That's what forgiveness is. Mm-hmm. But you won't forget, but you will forgive. So that's what the learning process is. Because if you don't learn nothing, or if you forget the whole incident completely, you didn't learn anything. We use that example with the scarf. You know, I got this scarf. I don't know where I got this from. Now time I change, you're going to get another one. It's possible, because you forgot what you did, forget it. So you're going to get another one. Yes?
Forgiveness is a hard issue. You can say, I forgive you, but I don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
Are you truly forgiving?
Mm-hmm.
Because with your heart, and that's what God examines, is your heart. Did you truly forgive him? And remembering that God does us the same way. He truly forgives us of our transgressions. He tells us the Psalms that no memory from the east to the west, that's how far apart it is.
Mm-hmm.
Having that true thought, and it's not an easy process, because when somebody does you wrong, that's probably one of the hardest things to do, is truly forgive somebody, and it's a process. So you've got to work through that. You may not forgive completely, but each day you try to do better than what you did before. Because you want the same forgiveness no matter how you look at it.
Right.
If you don't forgive somebody else, how do you expect somebody to forgive you?
That's true.
Because we all sin, we all make mistakes, we all fall short, mm-hmm. we all hurt people without even doing it on purpose. If we want the same thing, we've got to understand we got to get the same thing back.
That's true. That's a good point, yeah.
Well, you know, in forgiving, you can't do it by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot do it by yourself. You have to constantly keep asking God to help you to forgive whatever it was that caused the pain, you know, the hurt, the scar. You have to ask him when Satan brings that, because Satan is the one that makes it stay there, because he wants you
yeah.
to be angry, to be hurt,
Mm-hmm.
So Satan is the one that's keeping it there, and you hold on to it. Because sometimes that hurt feel, oh, it's feel good for right now, I'm going to stay right here. But you have to ask God each time that hurt comes to you, especially when you see that person, if it's still fresh and new. Lord, I don't know if I can handle this by myself. I need you to help me, because here they come. Help me to be the way you want me to be with this person. Okay. You know, keep my tongue still.
Yeah.
You know, you have to constantly keep. It's nothing that we can do on our own.
That's true.
In that forgiving, they say it's a process. And that process is asking God every step of the way.
Yeah.
And eventually, when you see that person, it's going to be like, you know, and you're going to be able to form some type of relationship.
Hopefully.
With
yeah.
that person.
Right.
It might not be that, ooh, hug it, ooh, I love you. You know, we're supposed to love anyway, but you know it's not going to be that. But you're going to have a relationship, and I know this is true because I had to do it on several occasions. Mm-hmm. I had to put that hurt back here because I can't serve God and being hurt by you. You got the power, and you're not going to have that power.
Right.
God got the power. You got to let God have that power bringing in you. So, yes, it's hard to forgive something that has hurt you. Scar,
mm-hmm.
but that process, each step of that way, you got to be asking God, help me, Lord, help me.
Okay, it sounds like we kind of revenge. I got to get my revenge some kind of way,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then I'll feel better. Go ahead.
It's just imagine if you broke your leg. The pain's not going to go away. You're not going to heal immediately. But one of the things you pray for is to heal quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what forgiveness may be, one of those broken part of the spirit where you need to pray that I heal quickly, Lord, because it still hurts. The pain doesn't go away necessarily, but that depends on how bad you got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a prayer that you may want to pray daily, Lord, help me heal quickly, and
mm-hmm.
that I fully forgive that individual, and it may not happen overnight.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, so you talk about revenge, and I don't know why it reminds me of, it's in the Old Testament about the I think he was a leader or something, but he had the leprosy, and he was like, he wanted to be clean or healed of the leprosy, so he went to, I think it was Elijah, and Elijah told him, go to Jordan, and I think Jordan is a dirty river, and he thought it was like a joke, he didn't believe it. But anyway, he finally went, he dipped into Jordan, but one, he tried to give a gift to somebody. Maybe I'm not giving it the right way, but he tried to give a gift to Elijah for healing him, and his servant ran behind him and took the gift.
I know what the scripture you're
okay,
talking about.
And Elijah like, well, where did you go? And he said, nowhere. And he said, while I was with you, I know what you did. And then the servant got the leprosy. So, like, well, the revenge is like, you don't know what you're going to get because you want this revenge.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's almost like, in my experience in life, it's like, don't want something for somebody else because you don't know what you're going to get in return. Don't wish bad on somebody else.
Right.
Because you don't know what you're going to get in return.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man, I wish, like, you know, like my kids when they were growing up, somebody did something wrong. Oh, I wish they would get hurt or I wish they were dead. Uh-uh. Don't you do that, because you don't know what's going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Why? That's like this. Why?
Why do we want to
why, yeah, because you're making it bad for yourself. That's how
well,
I feel.
That's and my interpretation of getting that revenge is what Charlotte touched on. It's the devil telling you, You need to get even. You need to get something out of it. You need to get back, you know. God teaches us, don't do evil for evil. You know, don't repay evil for evil. If truly forgiving is someone do something to you, you take it to the Lord, I'll leave it alone. As we've heard it said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. If we take the burdens, we're going to tell God about it. And then we're going to pick it back up and whenever time I see him, mm-hmm, yeah, I ain't forget. You know, that's the devil telling you, You still remember that, don't you? You know, he did this, they did that. You know, you need to do something, you know. Just give them that eye. Just let them know that you still remember, you know, some kind of way to try to get some type of revenge back. This is what the devil's flooding our heart and our mind with, to try to do something to retaliate. When you give up, truly forgive, you give up all feelings of animosity to that person. And that's what is so hard, as she touched on. We can't just do it by ourselves, because if we don't have God, we're going to be open to any and everything that the devil throws at us. We're just like that little blade of grass, and the devil is the wind. Whatever way he throw it, that's where we're going. He throw it the other way, we're going that way. We're going to go whichever way he wants to go, because we have no control. With God, we have some control. Whatever he throws, we can still stand. We might bend a little bit, but we still stand. Because God has given us the strength we need to stand. But if we don't have that strength, then we're going to go just like you see the things where they got with different stores. They got this little good guy to be blowing the air with your way, you know, because the wind is coming up, and if there's no wind blowing, he'll stand straight up. But every time the wind blows, he's going there with your way. Y'all saying it. Yeah, a windsock. You know, I guess that's what you can call it, but it's an advertisement type thing too. But yeah, we go to whichever way that wind blows us, because that's what the devil has on us, that effect. But with God, he gives us that strength, that backbone, that we can stand firm, you know, whatever comes. Yeah.
Well, with forgiveness comes peace of mind, too, at mm-hmm. least for me. There's no longer that turmoil within me.
In time.
In time.
Yes.
Right. But even at the point when you can go to that person and say, I forgive you,
mm-hmm.
it at least for me, it brings a piece of closure okay. to the situation. I don't know how to put it in words. It just, it helps me to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, and you consciously, in the beginning, you have to really consciously don't bring it up.
Right.
But then after a while, it's just not in the forefront of your mind anymore. So it brings, to me, it's a blessing for both sides. It's the forgiveness you give to the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your, first of all, you know, you did what God wanted you to do. And second of all, after a period of time, you find that peace. You find that I really was able to let go of this.
Okay. Another way you can look at it, okay, we all know that Christ suffered for us, right? He suffered greatly. We couldn't have did it. I couldn't have did it. Nails in my hands and my feet, hanging on the cross that long for somebody else. I don't think I could have did it. Had to catch me, tie me down, then nail me on it. That was just for me. So I was running extra hard if I know I ain't do nothing. But where do we do the suffering? We have to suffer, and it's a suffering process when you forgive. We feel the hurt. We feel the anger. We feel that revenge. To give all that up, it takes something out of you. That's what we give for Christ, because he gave for us. And you know, when you think about it, we want to go to heaven. And if it just took us doing everything good that we could do to get there, that would be great. You know, we just put down our little checklist and we say, I got to give this, I got to give that, do this, do that. When it comes to that suffering, give me a little bit more time. I'm going to work on that one. Because no one wants to hurt. You know, you don't want to hurt no way, no how, no kind of way. You know, you don't want a stomach ache.
It'll work on your physical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, physical and mental.
Stress can bring on some strange things in your body.
Yeah, physical and mental. Yeah. I mean, you ever had a little toothache? And how your day go? Can you think straight? The toothache? Yeah. With a little cut on your finger. A little bit of cut. You never even realize you got that little thing until you get a cut on it. Every time you turn, you hit it on something. And you're like, man, let me put a band-aid on this. Let me do something. I'm tired of this little thing nagging me, you know. And you don't want to hurt for nothing. You don't want a stomachache. You don't want a headache. You don't want arthritis. You don't want rheumatism. You don't want nothing. You know, we just want good times all the time. Who wants to suffer? Nobody. And you definitely don't want to suffer in the heart, emotionally. Don't want to suffer physically. Don't want to suffer emotionally. As you said, stress, especially a family member, a friend, a close friend, they just like family. A neighbor, you got a good neighbor. You know, as I said sometimes in a couple of lessons I've done, it can be somebody you don't really know that well, but it's one of them type of people that, oh, Lord, here you come again. That's great. You know, that's emotional pain. Because you don't want to deal with them. They haven't caused you no physical pain. But to be able to listen to them sometimes, to be around them sometimes, that's suffering. You ever been around somebody and you said, Lord, I wish they'd just be quiet. You know. But you got to give up. You got to suffer. Christ suffered for us. We never look at how can we suffer for him. Yeah, and when you, the scripture says, when you do these things to the least, you do it to him. We never look at it that way. And that's just one thing. One other thing that had run across my mind is we've got four major books, interpretations in the Bible and the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All interpretations are saying the same thing, but it's saying it about four different people. Some people say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. You ever try to talk to somebody and they're saying one thing, and you may be saying the same thing, but you're just not clicking. It's because you don't have an understanding of what the other one is saying. If you're saying the same thing, you would think it would be very easy to understand. But the problem comes in, I want you to understand it the way I say it. I don't want you to understand it the way you see it, or the way you say it. And I'm not listening to the way you say it to see if you're saying the same thing I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying? I know it sounds kind of jumble up. But think about it for a minute. I say one thing. You say the same thing, but you're not saying it the way I'm saying it. And I'm saying, well, no, that ain't right. And you're telling me the same thing. No, you're not right. Yes.
We kind of turn it into a debate. And it's like, we're just, that's what I just said. You know.
But yeah, but who's listening? You're not listening to what I'm saying. I'm not listening to what you're saying. Either one of us knows we're saying the same thing. So now we're at each other or against each other because neither one of us is listening. In order to understand what someone says, you got to listen. Yeah.
You know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the best way to put that is you have a car accident. Mm-hmm. One person's on one side of the car accident, another person's on another side of the car accident. They're giving you what they saw in their perspective of the same true event.
Mm-hmm.
And a good investigator puts all those together and actually puts together what actually occurred. So when you have different people writing the books, it's actually the best way to get the truth, because everybody's seeing something else, somebody else missed. Because you take Luke, he looks at things as perspective as a doctor. And so you have these different perspectives, the way they see things, you capture the whole picture. If you only get one story, you're not necessarily getting the whole picture. People say it contradicts you, so then when you put it together, it becomes a beautiful and perfect picture.
Right. Which is the word of God. That's the whole thing. Huh?
They didn't write their perspective. They wrote the Holy Spirit's perspective.
Yeah. There's four different ways to reach a bunch of different people. Because no one or no two people see the same thing exactly alike all the time.
I think when you're looking at the four major books, they all say the same thing, but some add a little more and some of them leave off a little more. Some of them are, like, for example, a car accident. Some of them may see a little bit more from the point where they're standing at and perceive more than the person that stood maybe a little bit further back or to the side and didn't see some of the things that the other person saw. So it's not necessarily contradictive. It's just some sees and express more of what they saw than what the other person did because they didn't see as much or they didn't hear as much.
That's what we call detail. More detail.
Yeah.
As I said, it was a nice day yesterday. And someone else said, oh, it was a nice day yesterday. It was 90 degrees.
More detail.
More detail. Someone else said, oh, it was a nice day yesterday. It was 90 degrees. The sky was just as blue. Still the same day. Still talking about the same thing. A little bit more detail. A little bit more understanding. And somebody else that didn't know or didn't see yesterday, somebody maybe laid in the hospital, and they said, what was it like yesterday? And if those three people said it, and in their mind, they can paint a picture. Oh yeah, it was a nice day. Sun was shining. Blue sky. And it was 90 degrees. In their mind, they know pretty much what kind of day it was. That's what the Bible is supposed to do for everybody. Anybody that picks up this book can read those different interpretations and get the full picture, all the detail. But if I'm going to stand up here and tell you my detail, and you're going to pick out your detail, and we're going to argue about detail, then what happened with the Word of God?
Ain't got no Word of God. Focus on
detail. That's right. It's my detail against your detail. And this is my way. And then what we're going to end up saying, that's the way you interpret it. That's the way you see it.
Division.
And who is spreading the Word of God?
Nobody.
We just spreading what we want to spread. You have to be very careful on the details. Because what we spread got to be the Word of God. Not just what we see and what we thought was good. I can tell you, thou shalt not kill. Do that mean that somebody coming at you with a knife, you're supposed to let them stab you? Does it?
No, because he asked us to have common sense.
You just try your best not to let them kill you. But do that mean you're supposed to kill them?
My heart wasn't intentional to go out there to kill them.
Okay. You're going to plead temporary insanity. But you're going to try to protect yourself. But you know that you wasn't like you said, your heart wasn't.
I didn't go out there to seek to kill them.
Right.
Today,
you was not trying to kill. I like that. I wasn't trying to put you on the spot, though. But I'm just trying to let us realize the importance of what we do, what we say, how we take things, how other people take things. And one of the most important things is I want to say a commandment. It's not a commandment. Or if people look at it like it's commandment, I might be wrong. The way I learned it when I was young, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But very few people do that today. They don't consider others. It's my way or the highway. You know, I'm telling you this is the way it's supposed to be. And if you don't go it this way, then you can just go. You know. So if you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, then you don't put yourself in that position first. You know, like this one really don't make no sense, but if I'm a not somebody in the head, but I'm a robber, I should take that stick and hit myself first. See, is it gonna hurt? Am I gonna be able to knock myself out? Because if I don't, then I'm gonna have to get through the stick. Now what kind of sense does that make? Because if I knock myself out, then I'm not gonna rob the person. And if I hit myself hard enough, maybe I knocked some sense in my head and realized, hey, I shouldn't ought to be robbing nobody in the first place. But do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's my lesson for tomorrow. Hope y'all got something out of it.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you all for your contribution.